Greetings, friends. This is Steve Dupuis for the Bible News Prophecy Program with Dr. Bob Teal, bringing you news and analysis of world events in light of Bible prophecy. Dr. Teal, today I would like to explore fires in prophecy. The fires in California are massive. Please start us off.
Well, yesterday, there was an interesting prophetic headline, if you want to call it that, from Israel 365 News. The headline is, California Wildfires, a glimpse of Malachi's healing pre-Messiah fires. And the article says, you know, natural disasters of epic proportions are described in the Bible, and wildfires are, as hinted by King David, serving God in the pre-Messianic period.
How are those fires serving God?
Well, they quote Psalm 104, verse 4, which says, He makes the winds his messengers, fiery flames his servants. Then they say that the prophet Malachi describes wildfires as a messenger of God. And they're quoting Malachi 3, verses 1 to 2. Behold, I'm sending my messenger to clear the way before me, and a Lord whom you seek shall come to his temple suddenly. As for the angel of the covenant that you desire, he's already coming. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can hold out when he appears? For he's like a smelter's fire, and like a fuller's lye. So this was what Israel 365 was pointing to. Well, the reality is, yes, Jesus is going to come again. So in that sense, the fires in California are pre-messianic. But no, they're not at all related to the ones in Malachi 3, verses 1 through 2. And the messenger being described, by the way, is a type of the Elijah to come. Now, it should be mentioned that Jesus was not like a smelter's fire in his first coming. Now, outside of Malachi, the term smelting or refining fire isn't mentioned in the Bible again until a future time in Revelation 3, verse 18. And that's the time the Bible associates with the Lord refining with punishment and vengeance, consistent with Jeremiah 7, verses 7 through 9. And of course, those things did not happen in Jesus' first coming. Now, while John the Baptist fulfilled the first half of those verses in Malachi 3, and only a part of it, there's absolutely no biblical indication he fulfilled or could have fulfilled Malachi 3, verse 2 or 4, 6. Now, that said, the fire that they've been having is considered the most destructive ever in the Los Angeles area. Various ones have called it apocalyptic, and it's also supposed to be very, very expensive. You know, Bloomberg reported that so many buildings have been destroyed. You know, close to 200,000 people or so have had to flee. Right now, by the way, it says at least 11 have died, at least 10,000 structures have burned, and they're anticipating the losses at, get this, $150 billion.
Wow, that is massive. Even though Psalm 104, which you cited earlier, is an excellent example of God controlling weather, some of our listeners may still be unconvinced. Can you cite some additional verses of God controlling weather for us?
Yeah, there's several in the Psalms. Like Psalm 107, verse 25 says, He commands and raises a stormy wind. Okay, the Santa Ana winds. Okay, that's what they made this fire go all over. In Psalm 147, verses 17 to 18, says, He casts out hail. Who can stand before His cold? He sends out His word and melts them. He causes the wind to blow and waters to flow. And, you know, you mentioned Psalm 104. Verse 1 says, God, you're very great. You make the clouds your chariot. You walk on the wings of the wind. Verse 4, make your angel spirits as ministers, the flames of fire. But now I'd like to go to Amos. Go to a little more prophetic in certain ways. Amos chapter 4. Starting verse 7, we read, I also withheld rain from you. Okay, they've had droughts in Southern California when there's still 3 months to the harvest. I mean, this is supposed to be the rainy season, by the way. I made it rain in one city. I withheld rain in another city. One part was rained upon, and where it did not rain apart, that part withered. Two or three cities wandered to one another to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. And in Psalm 148, verse 8, we read, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind, fulfilling his word. God controls the weather. Now, you know, Jesus' disciples got to see this firsthand. In the New Testament, the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 8, starting in verse 23, we read that Jesus got in a boat and his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a great storm arose in the sea and the boat was covered with waves. While Jesus was asleep, the disciples came to him and they woke him up saying, Lord, save us, we're perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful? Oh, you have little faith. And Jesus arose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But he stopped the winds. Well, these people, verse 27, so the men marveled, like, huh? Who can this be? That even the winds and the sea obey him. Well, presumably the disciples learned some from that experience.
What do you mean when you say presumably the disciples learned something from that experience? What did they learn?
Well, they should have learned that Jesus was God's son and that his father answered his prayers. Mm-hmm. You know, okay. God controls the weather. You know, furthermore, weather is sometimes used by God for judgment and correction. For example, I want to go to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 21, starting in verse 12, we read, O house of David, thus says the Lord, execute judgment in the morning, lest my fury go forth like fire and burn so that no one can quench it because of your evil doings. Behold, I'm against you, O inhabitants of the valley and the rock of the plain, says the Lord. We say, who shall come down against us? Who will enter our dwellings? But I will punish you according to the fruit of your doing, says the Lord. I will kindle a fire in its forest, and it shall devour all the things around it. Furthermore, Jeremiah wrote the book of Lamentations. Lamentations 4, verse 11 says, the Lord has fulfilled his fury. He has poured out his fierce anger. He has kindled a fire in Zion and has devoured its foundations.
Wouldn't those verses apply to the Jews, Dr. Teal? How do they apply to California?
Well, first of all, various ones associated with Hollywood descend from the house of David, and also many in the United States from the Israeli tribe of Manasseh. And we actually have a free online book about lost tribes and what's going to happen there that we'll put a link down so people can find this and read it for free. But I'd also like to add that we warned in a video back in 2017 that California was going to have more devastating fires. And again, this is the most destructive, most expensive one, probably in California's history. Now, a Protestant writer by the name of Michael Snyder, he wrote a few things about what's been going on with the weather. So I'd like to read some things he posted in the last couple of days. Here's a headline. America's potential, political and financial capitals were just hit by lightning, and now our entertainment capital is being devastated by fire. Since the past couple of weeks have been very strange. On New Year's Eve, four of the most iconic buildings in the entire country were all hit by lightning. In our political capital, the Washington Monument and the U.S. Capitol were hit. In our financial capital, the Empire State Building and the World Trade Center was hit. Then we've seen terrorist attacks in New Orleans and Las Vegas on New Year's Day. And now in the entertainment capital, they've got the fires. He says in some areas, in Los Angeles, it looks like literally like a nuclear weapon exploded. Mm. Some of the most iconic locations in L.A. have been wiped out. And even Hollywood Boulevard was excavated. Large numbers of homes for the entertainment industry have been lost, including a bunch of big names, probably 50 or more. He said 47 for a couple of days ago. It's probably more than that now. See, we've seen homes owned by celebrities get burned down in past fires, but we've never seen so many go at once. Mm-hmm. He says it'll take years to recover, and he doesn't think L.A. will ever look the same afterward. Now, I want to comment that, I live in California, and most famous Hollywood celebrities don't actually live in Hollywood. They actually live nearer to Pacific Palisades in Malibu, the area that's been affected by the Palisades fire. And that area has also been in a drought for the past several months. And you think about Hollywood, you know, it's long advocated sexual immorality and various perverse agendas.
What verses in the Bible address weather and perverse agendas?
Well, a lot of people who advocate sexual perversion as harmless may want to hear something else that the prophet Amos said would happen after the drought. And I read, you know, about the Amos prophecy and drought. It talks about weather problems. Also in Amos chapter 4. Starting verse 11, we read, I overthrew some of you, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were like a firebrand plucked from the burning. Yet you've not returned to me, says the Lord. Therefore, thus I will do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you. Prepare to meet your God, O Israel. And by the way, many in the United States are descended from Israel. It's one of the reasons I put up this free online book we have on lost tribes. Now, God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah for their pride and their acceptance of sexual immorality and perversion. You know, if the Anglo-American nations do not repent from the direction that they're going, they will be overthrown relatively soon. And actually, this book talks about that as well. You know, many who profess to believe the Bible need to take a stand against those who advocate sexual immorality and other behaviors that the Bible condemns. Instead, we've got them wanting to censor this kind of stuff. You know, weather events should serve as a wake-up call for repentance. And the Bible puts some connections to God's wrath for those who won't listen. Mm-hmm. For example, in the book of Zechariah, chapter 7, I want to start reading verse 11. Says, but they refused to heed. They shrugged their shoulders. They stopped their ears so they couldn't hear. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts has sent by his Spirit to the former prophets. Thus great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it happened that just as he proclaimed, and they would not hear, so they called out, and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts. But God's saying, time's gone. I'm not going to listen to you because you wouldn't listen to me. Now, I'd like to go to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 30. I want to read verse 30. This time, I want to read it from Roman Catholic translation. This is from the Douay Rheims Bible. And the Lord shall make the glory of his voice to be heard and shall show the terror of his arm in the threatening of wrath and the dame of devouring fire. He shall crush the pieces with whirlwind and hailstones. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 29, get some reasons to why, starting in verse 23. It says, the whole land is brimstone, salt, and burning. And that's what Michael Snyder is saying parts of L.A. look like. It is not sown, nor does it bear, nor does any grass grow there anymore, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and wrath, because they're promoting sexual perversion. Mm-hmm. Verse 24. All nations would say, why has the Lord done so to the land? What does the heat of his great anger mean? Verse 25. The people would say, because they've forgotten the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers. You know, sadly, that's the case in the United States. But while most people will not heed God, you can, everybody can, if they'll respond to God's calling, which sadly many United States don't want to do, but should.
Thank you, Dr. Teal. For more interviews with Dr. Teal, in addition to written as well as audio articles, visit our website at BibleNewsProphecy.net. This is Steve Dupuy for the Bible News Prophecy Program.